Thanks for tuning in to the Drive On podcast, where we are focused on giving hope and strength to the entire military community. Whether you're a veteran, active duty, guard, reserve, or a family member, this podcast will share inspirational stories and resources that are useful to you. I'm your host, Scott DeLucio, and now let's get on with the show. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Drive On podcast. Today, my guest is Dr. Noah St. John. Dr. Noah is known as the father of affirmations, and he's here to help us break out of bad habits and learn how to create new habits that are better for us. So welcome to the show. I'm glad to have you here.
Well, thank you, Scott. It's great to be here.
Yeah, absolutely. So for the listeners who may not be familiar with you and your background, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do?
Well, yes, thank you. Yeah, I'm known as the father of affirmations. And by the way, we're saying a new word for those of you who aren't familiar with my work. One of my books called The Book of Affirmations. And you can go to affirmations.com, learn more. It's affirmations. And we'll talk more about that, I'm sure. So it's different from the old style of affirmation that's something I invented 25 years ago called the affirmations method. And so, yeah, I'm known as the father of affirmations, also known as the mental health coach to the stars. And, you know, I'm also known for helping people make more money in just 12 weeks than they made in the previous 12 months while winning their lives back. Meaning I help people to not only make more money, but also, and frankly, I feel more importantly, is get their lives back. Meaning winning back 1 to 3 hours in your day and 4 to 8 weeks in your year. And the reason that I say that and the reason I think it's very important is because, you know, there's a lot of people out there teaching how to make more money, right? And, you know, imagine if I were to say, hey, you know, here's how to make more money. All you have to do is work twice as hard, work 10 times longer, never take breaks, don't see your family, don't take vacations, and just hustle and grind all the time. Sound good? And you're like, no, that kind of sucks. And no, right? So I'm literally the opposite of those hustling grinders, you know, and there's a ton of them out there that just say, you know, work 14, 18, 20 hours a day. And, you know, sometimes, yeah, we have to do that. You know, there's a time in life, maybe if you're just, let's say, starting up a business or scaling up a business, you have to do a lot of work. You have to put a lot of hours in, but that shouldn't be forever, you know, really. And part of the reason for that is because people aren't taught how to put these correct habits and systems in place, both in their lives and their business. So, you know, I'm very passionate about helping veterans. And I know that's what the show is all about, is helping veterans. I'm very passionate about helping veterans because I'm very aware that veterans very oftentimes have trouble after they have come back, you know, from active duty or what have you. And sometimes they lose their identity. And that happens very often, as I'm sure people listening to the program know. The statistics say that every day, 22, you know, military people, veterans, you know, take their own lives through suicide. And, you know, I myself faced suicide when I was 25 years old. At the age of 25, I decided to commit suicide because I was so depressed and frustrated with my own life and didn't see a way out at the time. And, you know, at the very last minute, the last moment, my life was spared. And so I've dedicated the last 25 years to really helping people, you know, not only people who are at that level of depression and suicide, you know, suicide or suicidal thoughts or, you know, behaviors, but really anybody who wants to have more impact in the world, you know, a greater impact, more influence and more income, you know, so that's really what I do.
Well, that's awesome because, you know, I've seen these people that you're talking about who are, you know, oh, all you have to do is
right
work twice as much and right see your family half as much and right do all the fun stuff in life less, and then you'll be a millionaire by, you know, whatever. Okay, excellent. That's all sounds great as far as like how that works, except it sucks because now I don't get to do any of the fun stuff in life right and I don't get to enjoy life. What's that's the right point? You know, if I, you know, I'd rather have a lower income and enjoy life than basically sleep at work and never see my family and never do anything fun and have all the money in the world, because like, what good is that money if I
what's
can't
the point
do anything exactly with it, right?
Right.
So, you know, but this is more than just money. And you got to that too, because ideally we'd like to help people before they get to that point where you and so many other people were at, where they were ready to just end everything and just call it quits. Because, you know, when you're so frustrated with life, you don't see a way out of whatever the situation is that you're in, and you're just going down this deep, dark hole, sometimes it seems like there's no way out. So if we can prevent people from even getting to that hole or getting in that hole or anything like that, then, you know, maybe we have a situation where we can help those people and they don't even see the hole and they don't even get to that point, you know? So let's talk a little bit about, so you mentioned earlier the affirmations being a kind of a newer word, not the way that we usually talk about affirmations, but affirmations. But why don't you talk about that word and what it means and how that applies here in this conversation?
Absolutely. So again, I'll show you, this is one of my books called The Book of Affirmations. You go to A-F-O-R-M-A-T-I-O-N-S, affirmations, just like it sounds with an O, affirmations.com, learn more about it. So everybody knows what an affirmation is, right? We've been taught this for over a century, right? All the gurus say the same thing. If you read any self-help book other than mine, any other self-help book, you know, they talk about using these positive statements or affirmations. So, you know, as a business coach, an executive coach, and a habits coach, one of the things I also get to do is work as a keynote speaker. You know, so I get to do keynote speeches all around the world. And one of the things that I like to do at my events, whether it's a live seminar or a virtual event, I like to have my audience members stand up and I say, okay, everybody say an affirmation, just like we've been taught by the gurus. Everybody say, I am rich. And everybody goes, I am rich. And you know what happens next? Everyone starts laughing. And I go, what are you laughing at? And they say, well, I'm not rich. And I say, but you just said you were. And they go, yeah, but I don't believe it. Aha. See, now, isn't that the trouble? Isn't that the problem with that old method, right? We say these positive statements and we want to believe them, but in most cases, we just don't believe it. In fact, did you know there was a scientific study done on this very topic, and they found that 75% of people actually end up more frustrated than before when they use the old affirmations method. So, I mean, imagine if you had a smartphone that only worked 25% of the time and didn't work 75% of the time. You'd probably trade that phone in, right? You'd probably trade it in for something that works better, right? Well, that's what I invented. I invented a new type of phone, you know, that works actually 100% of the time. And so that's what, you know, I call the affirmations method. So what's the difference? So the affirmation, the old method, is you say these positive statements. I'm happy, I'm rich, I'm successful. And your brain goes, no, you're not. We just don't believe it. And so 25 years ago is actually April 1997. So over 25 years ago now, I was actually in the shower. I was thinking about this very topic because I've been reading all these books. They all say the same thing. And I did everything they said. And I had post-it notes. I'm happy, I'm rich, I'm successful. No, I'm not. I'm broke, unhappy, and miserable. Right. That was the reality. So I said, what the heck? What aren't they telling us? What are they leaving out? Right. It was so frustrating. And so I actually had this epiphany in the shower. I call it the shower that changed everything. And when I realized that the human mind actually responds automatically to something much more powerful than statements, and yet at the same time, simpler and easier and more effective. And what is that? Well, it's the power of empowering questions. Right. And psychologists actually call this the embedded presupposition factor of the brain. Now, that's just a fancy way of saying when you ask a question, your brain searches for the answer. So I said, why are we going around making statements that we don't believe when the human mind responds automatically to something even more powerful? And it's already right there inside of us. And I said, okay, so what would that look like? So we've got this statement, I am rich, to which your brain goes, yeah, right. Right. And so I said, if that's the statement, what would the question be? And then I said, why am I so rich? Why am I so rich? Now, when you ask that question, it sounds kind of funny at first, but then if you really ask a question, why am I so rich? What starts to happen in your brain? You actually start to search for the answer, right? Your brain automatically searches for the answer, just like you're doing a Google search, right? Or a computer, if you're searching for a file on your computer. Well, your brain's like a computer. Your brain's like Google. And it literally has an infinite search engine right here between your ears every moment. And so you're searching for the answer. And by virtue of the law of sowing and reaping, which means as you sow, so shall you reap. But what are we sowing? We're sowing seeds of thought. And yet, what are most people doing? They're sowing lousy thought seeds. Thought seeds like, why am I so stupid? Why can't I get a job? Why isn't my business growing? Why can't I get more clients or customers or patients? Or why am I so fat? Why can't I lose weight? Why does nothing ever work out for me? Why is there more month left at the end of the money? Right? And when you ask lousy questions, what do you get? Well, you get lousy answers. Right, exactly. You get lousy answers, and that creates a lousy life. So I said, what if instead of asking lousy questions that lead to lousy answers and create a lousy life, what if we just flipped the whole thing on its head? Start asking empowering questions that lead to phenomenal answers and create a wonderful life. And that's why in the shower that changed everything 25 years ago, I invented this method that I called, and I named it, you know, the Affirmations Method. I actually trademarked that term. It's an official trademark of the United States government, Affirmations. Again, that's Affirmations, Affirmations, affirmations.com. You can learn more about it. And I mean, since that time over 25 years ago, I've taught my Affirmations Method to over 1 million people around the world. And we've helped people not only through my Affirmations Method, but through my other, you know, formulas and methods as well, to literally add 6, 7, and even 8 figures to their business in record time, work less and make more. We've also helped people lose, you know, weight, literally lose thousands of pounds collectively. Also find love. You know, we've helped people find their soulmate, save marriages. We help kids. Kids love affirmations. But those of you listening who, you know, have kids or nieces or nephews or whatever, grandkids, teach them about my affirmations method, because kids absolutely, totally get it. They love it. And we have so many stories that people have sent to me about, you know, they shared my affirmations method with their kids or grandkids or nieces and nephews. And, you know, the kid starts to get better grades, start to feel more confident. We've had kids who, you know, were on like a not so great road, and then they ended up going to college and, I mean, getting scholarships. So, I mean, just incredible stories like this from literally all around the world as a result of using my affirmations method.
Well, that's great. Flipping the questions around, it almost, as you're describing it, reminded me of the show Jeopardy, where you have to answer in the form of a question as opposed to just giving the answer, right? Whatever the statement is. And so it seemed like that. And so, you know, I started thinking about the different thoughts that go through our heads every day and stuff that you mentioned, you know, why can't I lose weight? Why can't I do this? Why, you know, these aren't maybe the right questions to be asking ourselves. But when you start changing some of those questions and making it into something that's a little more productive, then I started to see my brain just digging around and trying to figure out what the actual answer is. Because I could say, you know, why am I not making more money, or why am I not losing weight, or whatever? And I don't know the answer to that. I don't know, because things that I've tried don't work. I guess that's the answer. Like, those things don't work. Okay. But there's something out there that will work, and to figure that out. So maybe I need to ask a better question, get to the root of whatever it is that I'm trying to figure out. But a lot of times people end up feeling stuck. They get to that point where it's like, okay, why can't I lose weight? Why can't I quit smoking? Why can't I whatever? And you've said that there's this phenomenon, or this thing that you call head trash, the reason why so many people end up feeling stuck in these situations. So what is this head trash that you're talking about, and how does it keep people stuck?
For everybody listening, I want you to think about your goals for a second, right? So what are your goals for the next 12 months of your life, right? So, well, of course, people say, you know, I want to make more money. I want to start a business. I want to grow my business. I want to get more clients or patients, or, you know, whatever it is that you do. I want to write a book. You know, maybe a lot of people say to me, no, I want to write books like you do. I mean, I've published, you know, 19 books at this point. My 20th is coming out soon. But anyway, so, you know, think about those goals, right? And then what happens for so many people is that the very next thought that they have is, well, you know, I want that thing, but I probably can't do it, you know? And then what happens is they say, I can't do it because, right? And see, whatever happens after the word because is what you believe and what you will defend to the death. See, there's an old saying that if you argue for your limitations, you get to keep them. And see, the way that I say it is that we humans have an infinite capacity to make ourselves right. And so the point is that if you believe that I can't do it because, you know, and then people say, well, I can't do it because, I don't have the money. I don't have the time. I can't afford it. I don't have the right connections. I don't know the right people. I didn't go to the right college, or, you know, I'm too old. I made too many mistakes, or, you know, I'm divorced, or, you know, I have kids, or I'm a Martian, you know, whatever it might be. People can find any excuse, right? And then you always make yourself right, see? And so you think about those goals, and then it's like, yeah, but why bother? You know what? I think I'll just go watch Netflix. And that, you know, that's just one example of how these poor habits, which I call unproductive habits. See, there's really only two types of habits, if you think about it. What I call productive and unproductive. Right. So a lot of people out there have a lot of labels. You know, they say good habits and bad habits. I don't agree with that, because what happens is that you just get into these labels. It's a good habit or it's a bad habit. But that doesn't really mean anything if you think about it. What you really want to start thinking about is this habit, is this thing that I'm currently doing bringing me towards my goals or not, right? In other words, is it bringing me towards my goals or is it actually bringing me further away from my goals? Or is it maybe just doing nothing and I'm just staying right where I am, right? So if it's bringing you further away from your goals or keeping you right where you are, I would classify that as an unproductive goal, right? So in a classic example would be, if my goal is to be healthy and yet I have a habit of overeating and smoking, is that going to give you the thing that you want? Probably not, right? I mean, or even eating junk food, right? Eating junk food, we all know what that means. We all know what it means to eat right and not eat right. We all know that. Nobody needs any more training on that, right? And so the point is, well, then why would we do that? Well, because the human, what people don't realize is what a habit actually is. And this is why it relates to head trash, because the head trash says, well, I'll never lose weight. I've always been overweight. I've always been fat and I can't do it. Same thing with money. You know what? I came from a poor family. You know, I was raised poor and I'll probably never have any money. So, you know, that's it. That's the end for me. And I'll just, you know, make do with what I got. And, you know, I understand that because I grew up poor in a rich neighborhood. And so I had a very unique, interesting, you know, childhood because most people either grow up rich in a rich neighborhood or poor in a poor neighborhood. Well, I grew up poor in a rich neighborhood. So I got to see the vast chasm between the haves and the have-nots. The haves was everyone else in the community. The have-nots was my family, right? And we'd probably all heard, you know, motivational speakers or whatever, they or gurus get on stage and say, well, you know, we were poor, but we were happy. We didn't know we were poor. Well, my family, we freaking knew we were poor because my mother, bless her heart, reminded us every day that we were poor and miserable. So no, it wasn't happy. It sucked. And so I hated that life of poverty. That's what I grew up in. But I saw right down the street, there's great wealth and abundance. So for my whole life, I'm like, how the heck do I get from here to there? And that's what all of my work has been about. So, you know, it's not like I grew up with a silver spoon in my mouth. I don't think I even had a spoon. It was plastic. But anyway, you know, that's what I'm trying to say is that if you want to have something better in your life, which, right, we all do. But what happens is because of this head trash that I'm talking about, and I mean, let's face it, I've basically written 20 books on this one subject, how to take out your head trash, you know? And I mean, in fact, you can, I'll just show you one. I won't show you all my books, but here's another one that you can get for free. It's called Get Rid of Your Head Trash. About, you know, everybody can get this book for free. It's sendmeabooknoah.com. Very easy to remember. Sendmeabooknoah.com and I'll send you a book. The book is free. We just ask you to cover the shipping. But the point is that the head trash is in fact the thing that's keeping so many people stuck. But what's happening out there is that people are just focused on the symptoms rather than the actual root cause, right? So it's like kind of going to the dentist, right? Imagine if you have a toothache, right? And you're like, oh man, my tooth really hurts. So what do? You go to the dentist, right? And you're like, can you check this out, man? This really hurts. And he's like, yep, you got a cavity. And you're like, okay. And he says, all right, well, here's some painkillers. You know, just take some pain pills and that'll be make you feel better. And you're like, well, wait a minute. Wait a minute. All you're doing is masking the symptom, right? The symptom is called pain, right? But all of us have pain in different areas, but pain is always a symptom. Pain is always up here, right? So if you're like, well, the pain is, you know, I'm lonely. The pain is I'm overweight. The pain is I'm not making the money I want to be making, right? So we have pain in these areas of life, whether it's health or wealth or relationships or whatever it might be, right? But that's only a symptom. Pain is a symptom. The point is we have to look at the root cause, at what's actually causing the pain, right? Even though it might not be fun to get a root canal, you know, at the moment, it's probably better than just taking a pill because otherwise, you know, you might lose not just one tooth, but a whole bunch of teeth. That's a good example.
That is a good example. And just masking the symptoms, like you said, just taking the pain medication to solve the toothache is not solving the root cause of the problem. Right. And a lot of times, yeah, we have problems in our lives and we are addressing the symptoms, but we're not addressing the root cause, right? And that is just as helpful as taking the pain medication, which, you know, maybe temporarily that might be something you need to do until that root cause is addressed, right? Because, you know, maybe you can't get an appointment at the dentist for, you know, it's over the weekend. They're not in the office. You're going to need to take the pain medication until that root cause can be addressed. Mm-hmm. But again,
let's get it fixed as quickly as possible is the message. Yeah, that's the point.
You want to be in there as soon as possible to get that addressed. So that way you don't have to be on pain medication for the rest of your life, or whatever the cure is for that symptom of the thing that you're dealing with.
Well, this is actually why, this is why the personal growth industry is primarily focused on symptoms, right? They're focused on symptoms, meaning like, hey, if you're not reaching your goals, then you need to get motivated. Come on, set your goals and think positive and you can do it. And that's going back to the hustle, work and hustle and grind. And you're like, that's all symptoms. It's all up here. The reason that my clients make so much money so quickly, or lose weight so quickly, or find love so quickly, is because we get to that root cause. That's why we get that hockey stick growth, as we like to call it. You know, they're going along like this and then whoop, hockey stick. I'll give you a quick example of that. I had one client who, in fact, I asked them this question. I said, how much do you think your head trash is costing you this year? His name's Charles, my client. I said, Charles, how much do you think your head trash is going to cost you this year? In other words, if you don't fix this problem, how much do you think you're going to lose this year? And he said, $1 million. He literally, without batting eyes, said, I'm going to lose $1 million if I don't take out my head trash. I said, okay, I tell you what, because he actually read one of my books and he literally just found me on my website. He contacted me right away. He read one of my books and he said, Noah, you know, I want you to coach me. I need your help on this. So that's why I asked him, how much does it cost you? He said, $1 million. I said, I tell you what, you give me just 10% of that $1 million. And I will get you that $1 million this year. I'll find you that $1 million. So I said, if you give me $1 and I give you $10 back, is that a good deal? He goes, yeah, that's a great deal. I said, okay. So he paid me 10% of $1 million. That's $100,000. He paid me $100K to coach him. Well, in 1 year, we've been coaching now for actually about 10 months. We've already added over $1.5 million to his business. So you talk about hockey stick. Okay. And I mean, if you go to our website, you'll see lots and lots of examples of hockey. I mean, people going from $60,000 in debt to a six-figure income in less than a year, from $5,000 a month to $75,000 a month, from $4 million a year to $20 million a year. I mean, just so many stories like this. Do you think I could have done that if I just said, come on, work harder, set your goals, think positive, you can do it? It's like, oh my God, really? You know, none of that is wrong, but it also doesn't really help. So that's why we get to the cause, and that's what hockey stick.
Yeah. And a lot of times when you use that mindset of just work harder, you're doing the thing that isn't creating the growth. You're just doing more of that.
And that's right.
And it doesn't matter what the goal is. It could be growing your business. It could be quitting smoking. It could be losing weight. It could be finding another job. Whatever it is, if you're just doing the same thing that you've always done, and you're just doing it harder, like it doesn't necessarily make it better, right?
No, it doesn't.
You know, it's like, you know, my car is making a clunking noise. Well, let me just press the gas a little harder and see if that clunking noise will go away. Like maybe the sound of the engine will just drown it out.
Right. Or turn the radio on. That's even better. Just turn the radio on. Now I can't hear it. There you go. That's
good. Exactly. It doesn't mean that the problem's gone away. It's still there. It just, you aren't noticing it. It's just not the right way of doing things. So yeah, it's really just, you know, changing that mindset, changing your attitude about different things. And you've talked about willpower too, being one of the worst ways to change a habit. Why is it one of the worst ways to change habits?
Willpower is a very weak muscle. Now, it's not that it's wrong or it's bad. It's just a very weak muscle. And numerous scientific studies have shown this. So here's what willpower is like. So imagine you're in your kitchen right now and somebody comes in with a freshly baked plate of chocolate chip cookies, right? The chocolate chip cookies, they just came out of the oven, right? You see the steam rising, right? You smell the smell and you're like, your mouth starts to water. You're like, oh my God, does that look good, right? And then they say to you, okay, now listen, I'm going to put these cookies here and I have to leave. Don't eat any cookies. Do not eat a cookie. Whenever you don't eat one of these cookies, because I have to go. So I'm going to leave this here and don't eat a cookie. Now they leave. What are you going to do? You're going to eat like 12 cookies, right? I mean, you're going to, right? I mean, that's what willpower is like, right? Because willpower is basically you saying to yourself, hey, don't do this thing that I really want to do. And we humans do not like to deny ourselves of it, right? Especially nowadays. And so that's why willpower, even though it's not wrong or it's not bad, it's a weak muscle. And so the point is, rather than that, you know, one of the things that I teach my clients to do is work with what a habit actually is. See, we weren't trained this. We weren't taught what is a habit. Well, believe it or not, a habit is just five stages or five elements: the cue, routine, the reward, the craving, and belief. Now, very quickly, what that means is you have the cue, which is the trigger that happens in your life, right? Then you have the routine. That's what you do when that trigger is cued. Then you have the reward that happens in the brain. Then you have a craving that happens in the brain. So that's why you keep doing this habit. And in the final stage that happens is a belief about your ability or about the habit itself. So let's take another example of procrastination. That's the number one habit that people say they want to break. No, you know, I really want to do all this. I've got my goals. I write them down all the time. I focus on them, but I just keep procrastinating, you know, and I can't get anything done. There's so many distractions out there. I can't focus. I'm like, no kidding. Right. And yes, we live in a world of infinite distractions right at our fingertips, right? At every second, you know, we have these machines of infinite distraction called our smartphones. And, you know, and of course, the social media platforms, for example, you know, they have engineers and people there that are working the algorithm to keep you addicted to that platform. So they make more money because so they can show you more advertising. That is their entire job. That is their entire existence, is to keep you addicted. So they show you more ads. So they make more money. That is it. Okay. They're not designed to, you know, help you in any way. Right. And so just knowing that sometimes can help people to, you know, break that addiction to their smartphone or to their screens, for example. Anyway, so the point is, think about procrastination. That's the habit, right? Again, I don't think there's too many people that would argue that procrastination is a productive habit, right? In other words, something like I talked about earlier, that's bringing you towards your goal, right? For most people, and it's an unproductive habit. You know, boy, I really should do this, but you know what? I think I'll go watch Netflix, or I think I'll just scroll social media for a while. Hello, you just wasted all that time. And like we talked about earlier, time is the most valuable resource because it can't be replaced. All of Bill Gates' billions can't buy 1 minute of yesterday. All right. So if you look at that habit, you know, the trigger is you think about doing something you should do. You know that it would actually help you. That's what the irony of procrastination is. It's not just not doing something. It's not doing something that would actually help you, that would benefit you. Then the routine is you do something else, right? You think about the thing and then you do something else, right? But then what happens is you have the reward in the brain that says, aha, I'm safe, right? And your brain is designed to keep you not dead. That is your brain's main job, keep you not dead. So the brain, and one great way to keep you not dead is to make sure you don't do anything scary, right? Because in ancient times, right, if you did something, if you felt that fear, it could be a saber-toothed tiger in the bushes, right, coming out to eat you. Well, there's not too many saber-toothed tigers running around nowadays, but we still have those same fears in our brain, right? The brain hasn't, you know, I'm talking about the ancient brain. I'm pointing to my head back here. You know, it's the ancient limbic brain. Not the frontal cortex, you know, the communication part of the brain and so forth. Anyway, so that's the reward. It's like, oh, I'm safe. I didn't die. Great job, me, you know? And then the craving is for safety, right? And that's why people don't face their fears so many times. And then the belief becomes, I can't do it. Oh, wow. What did I just talk about? Head trash. I wonder where head trash comes from. Do you see how this all works together? You see why willpower won't do really anything here in this situation. It doesn't do anything. It's like, come on, do it. And you're like, oh, forget us. You know, it's just, it's tiring. It's exhausting. And it doesn't work very well. So what I teach my clients to do is very simple. Number one, understand what the cue is that triggers this habit. Number two, we just change the routine. All we do is swap out a new routine, right? You say, okay, well, if I have this thing and I go watch Netflix, how about just do one simple thing? Just let's say it's make a phone call. Maybe it's write an article. Maybe it's write part of your book. Maybe it's write an outline or create something if you want to create an online course or your business. Maybe it's to call your mentor, you know, or something like that. You know, just a different thing than that you've been doing. That doesn't really involve willpower. It's just switching. And then using my affirmations method, that's how we can start to change the belief. Rather than saying, I can't do it, you say, why can I do it? Why did I do it? Why am I able to do the things that I set my mind to? Now, just switching those things, you see how simple that is? And it can be very quick. This is one example and one reason, frankly, why we're able to get this hockey stick growth for our clients, because you're like, man, this doesn't have to be so hard. It does. In fact, it's probably easier than what you're doing right now. And that's what's so nice about it.
And when I'm guilty of this too, procrastinating, found myself sitting right here in this spot, looking at this screen that I'm looking at right now.
Yep.
Knowing that there is something I need to be doing, when I put it off, I choose to do something else, and I end up wasting time, wasting, you know, a half hour, an hour, whatever it is, doing something else when I could have been doing that other thing that brought me closer to whatever the goal was that I was trying to get towards. And looking back at it, obviously, that was not helpful in any way, shape, or form. It wasn't helping me achieve any of those goals that I had. And the thing is, when you work towards achieving a goal, once when you reach that goal, now you're able to move on to that next goal and do that next thing, which is like the hockey stick growth that you're talking about with anything, whether it's weight loss or how fast you quit smoking or whatever, if you are working towards that goal, you're going to see that growth or that decrease in other cases, you know, if it's a loss kind of thing, like a weight loss kind of thing. You know, you're going to see that much quicker if you continue to work towards it. And procrastination, I know for me in my life, it had been a pretty significant issue. And, you know, you're just working towards a goal helps you overcome that thing. Sometimes that thing is, it's scary because you're unsure of yourself. You're doubting yourself, like, oh, I don't know if I can actually do this. So I'll do something else instead. And
because it's safe, like I was just talking about, it's safe. Yeah, and you don't die. See, I mean, that's what your brain literally says to yourself. It's you talking to you. You're like, see, I didn't die. You're welcome. Right. But meanwhile, your other brain's going, hello, I'd like to make money. You
know? Yeah.
And your brain's like, I don't care. We're not dead. Shut up.
We're not dead. We can worry about money tomorrow.
Right. That's your problem. That's not my problem.
Yeah, exactly.
It's funny we have all these different brains in there with different agendas. So it's basically a matter of who wins. But one of the things I just want to say quickly is that, you know, one of the things that I work with my clients on is we call these the three pillars of transformation. And that is having the right plan, the right tools, and the right support, right? The right plan, which is what to do, right? So like, you know, in my books and my coaching and my courses, I give you that. I give you the right plan and I show you what to do. I show you what to do and how to do it. Meaning I show you different tools and things like that. And then I give you the right support. You know, and a lot of times, as a coach, as a mentor, one of my biggest jobs is believing in people before they believe in themselves. Right. Because a lot of people have gone through trauma or loss. I mean, everybody has. Right. I mean, you know, you get to a certain age in life, it's pretty hard to not have loss or trauma or pain or whatever. So, you know, people have been beat up or you know, just traumatized, whatever, by life, by things. And so, you know, getting that support is so, so crucial. And then the fourth element of transformation is taking the right action. See, it's like, you know, if you hired me because I was the best personal trainer and you say, hey, no, I really want to get in shape. I want to have six pack abs. So, you know, I hear you're the best trainer around. So, you know, here's the money and can you train me? I said, sure. And then you say, hey, Noah, by the way, can you do my sit-ups for me so I can get six pack abs? Like, well, that would be great, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it be nice to hire somebody to do our sit-ups if we get the six packs? That would be awesome, right? I haven't figured that one out yet, but I'd be a billionaire if I could do that one. Yeah, all right, I'll do your sit-ups and you get six pack abs. But what's so funny is that's what a lot of marketing is, right? They say things like that. It's a magic pill. It's a silver bullet. And it's like, no, sorry, those don't exist. Gosh darn it. So, you know, but having the right plan, the right tools, and the right support, to me, is really the crucial elements of that transformation. And then we just say, listen, if you just take a few actions every day, it's definitely going to give you more productive results than what you're doing right.
And at the end of the day, it'll develop a little bit more self-confidence. You know,
so
that thing that you're doing or that you're procrastinating from is because you're unsure of yourself, you're not sure of your abilities and whatnot.
That's right.
Once when you do that thing and you accomplish the goal, you'll be a little more confident in whatever it is that you're trying to do. And you'll be more likely to do it again the next time and push yourself outside of your comfort zone even more and accomplish even bigger and better things just by making some small little changes. And it doesn't have to be wholesale changes all today, day one, because I think that's completely unsustainable if you do that. It was like something that just like triggered in your brain and you're just like, you know what? All junk food is gone forever and I'm never going to touch another piece of pie or cake or cookies or anything like that. I'll never eat it again. Okay. Well, you know, God bless you. But, you know, I think that's probably few and far between, especially after, you know, recent holidays that we just got through and stuff. Like there's going to be food. There's going to be stuff like that. Other things are going to come up, right? You know, make some small changes. You know, every night you have a couple cookies before bed. Well, maybe don't do that before bed, you know, and replace that with, I don't know, an apple or something, you know, something that's healthier and that will move you towards that goal. If, you know, if your goal is weight loss or if your goal is to get more involved in, you know, a networking group in your industry or something like that. Well, instead of deciding to stay home and watch Netflix, force yourself to go out on that, you know, that night when that group is meeting and go interact with those people and start making connections. And that's just one step closer. And yeah, maybe that's just a one-time deal and you're going to have to do that again and again. But once when you start to know those people, it's going to be a whole lot easier to get out and get in, involved in that group, right?
Absolutely. That's a great example. Yeah.
So, I mean, there's just so many different things that we are stuck with. We have this head trash. We need to figure out how to get unstuck, break some of these bad habits. Again, you mentioned your books, your website, and all the resources that are available that you have. I will have links to all of those in the show notes so that anyone who is listening wants to check out the books, wants to find out more about your coaching or anything else that you have to offer, they can find those links in the show notes. Is there anything else that you'd like to add for the listeners before we wrap up here?
Yes, I do have one other resource I'd like to mention. It's called breakthroughwithnoah.com. And that is a video that I just released that really shows how I help my clients to, you know, break through their income ceiling, break through, you know, any head trash and get rid of that and really get that hockey stick growth. So that's breakthroughwithnoah.com. Very easy to remember. And there's a video training there. And I really encourage you to go watch that. It's a short video that really goes over my whole system in a very short and entertaining way. So a breakthroughwithnoah.com is a resource I'd love for everyone to check it out.
Excellent. Well, thank you, Noah, for joining me and taking the time to share affirmations and how we can break these habits that we've developed throughout our careers, throughout our lives, all these things that take place in our lives, how we can help to improve our situations and get rid of some of these habits. So thank you. It's been a pleasure speaking with you, and I appreciate you taking the time to come on.
My pleasure.
Thanks for listening to the Drive On Podcast. If you want to support the show, please check out Scott's book, Surviving Sun, on Amazon. All of the sales from that book go directly back into this podcast and work to help veterans in need. You can also follow the Drive On Podcast on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, YouTube, and wherever you listen to podcasts.